Friends, I'm turning this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. And to verse 31. From verse 30. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. This is where we are going to take our gospel message from this morning. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Bro, can you please read the teaching for us? John chapter 8, verse 30.
Ore kasa salo, kupa pei dinu ti. Ena Yesu se yi ya po a wo dinu ti yu se. Tamo tema se mwa, uye me chuan po a pa. Eti, so oba
Yemu adishia obaye adishia mpa na so se oba no yimu hwe empotire mu a obaye mbonya fa ahudie ampa. And this morning we are looking at what it really means to be free. What it really means to be free. See ka se obi ye free a na se obi anya fa ahudie a ase ne sen e de pa na se se fa ahudie a eye enukrem. And then I have been doing an opay. Now, this morning, I would like to take a moment to focus on this passage, the implications of the text, and then explain. What basically is saying is that normal man is in bondage to sin. And it is true. Every natural man, every person who has not been born again, who has not been converted, is a slave to sin. You are in bondage to sin. And those who believe in Jesus Christ, truly from the heart, sincerely, not just mentioning his name, but those who sincerely believe in him are also free from bondage. That's exactly what Christ is trying to tell the people, the Jews in this account. That natural men are in bondage to sin. Believers in Christ are free from that bondage. Those who hear the gospel and come to trust in our Lord and Savior from the heart, having been drawn by the Father, they are the ones that are truly, truly, truly free. And one thing is that, one thing I've observed is that when you preach the gospel, the true gospel, it hurts. It hurts people. When we come with the truth, it hurts people. As we are going to learn later on from this account between Christ and the Jews. How did we become in bondage? How do we become slaves? We became in bondage or in captivity when Adam disobeyed God. And we being descendants of Adam, inheriting that bondage. So every human being born in this world is in that bondage. And not until you come to know Christ sincerely, to give your life to Christ, you remain in that bondage. And you remain in that bondage until Christ comes and you go to hell. That is the reality, that is the truth about the scriptures. Because when the devil tempted Adam and Eve to sin, his mind, his purpose, his idea was that once one person sinned, that is it. I've gotten all the human race. Because anybody that comes from Adam will be under my grip. That was what he thought. And that was true. Once you come out of Adam, you come as a sinner and you are under bondage. What he didn't know was that God had a master plan. God had a plan that could destroy all his plans. That is why God, I have a sermon that I'm preparing. My title, even though I shouldn't be saying this in advance, I just want to let you know that Christianity is impossible with man, but possible with God. Nobody on their own can be saved from this bondage except you believe in what Christ has come to die on the cross of Calvary and commit your life to him. That is the only way you can come out of this bondage. So Christ said to the Jews that, and listen to what he said, he said to the Jews who had believed him, they had believed him. Then he said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Here, the truth that Christ was talking about to the Jews, it was in the future, because they had not really come to believe in Christ. They were still living in that bondage. Their understanding was crooked. They did not really understand what it means to be free. What Christ is saying that if you know Christ, if you believe on him from the heart, then you are free indeed. And like I said, if you look at the passage, Christ had earlier on talked about himself, his mission, who he is to the Father, and why he has come. And they believed all this. They believed that he was the Messiah. Mind you, they were expecting the Messiah, because Moses had said in Deuteronomy that God will send a prophet like me. He is the one that you should believe. So they were expecting the Messiah. Now, after Christ has spoken to them, they believe that this is the Messiah. They believe that what Christ was saying was true. And then, the moment he mentioned that they should believe in him to be set free, that was the problem. It's surprising, isn't it? You believe the man that he is the Messiah. He has come to liberate us. And now he's saying that if you believe in me, if you put your trust in me, if you abide in me, then are you free indeed. Because from the beginning he said, as he said, is many believed in him. So it was the same people who had believed that he was addressing when he said that if you abide in me, then you are truly free. They believed that what Christ was saying was true. He was the Messiah that they had been expecting. And then he said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That is the secretary. And that's where the trouble began. The moment he said this, that was when they objected to all his teachings. You see what they were saying, that they were children, they were descended from Abraham. They have never been in bondage. They have always been free. And that is what many people think. Many people think they are free when they are not. Not until you are truly born again, you are not free. You are like a bird that is tied to a rope. You are never free. You can hang out, you can move around, but you can never go far. You are still under the grip of Satan until you are fully liberated. You are fully taken out of that captivity. You are fully taken out of darkness into light. Not until then, you remain a captive to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because what I'm saying is surprising is that they believed all what Christ was saying. And yet, the moment he talked about freedom, which would have brought joy unto them, then the trouble began. The American is there. A real team will say, oh, Pastor, can you come now? Can you create pie woman? Independent. If you say, Tibia is a woman, you're petty, you're a creeper. Now, you have a man or no more can. Or no more is starting, or Casafani, who said they are free buyer, and you didn't see our buyer. Or can you now, no, me not GD? He will say, oh, no, no, I didn't quite know just one number. Now, Pedia, or Sabe can say, I just said, oh, GD. Now we did not tell so. And sana, yeah, you were free in Pochimono. I feel they're not almost a moment yet. Then I'm saying, someone, everyone, we say, we are to be a freedom. In this world, everybody wants freedom. Children want freedom. Adults want freedom. Nations want freedom. That's why we hear Ghana, our code of arms, freedom and justice. All that trouble we hear about nations rising against nations is all about freedom. Everybody wanting to be free, either economically or politically. So why is it that when somebody brings freedom, then you are objecting? That shows the state, the condition of man. And when they say a nipa, ya bra bo are who ye, ubiya pefa who ye, ubiya pefa ye yini free prison, and I say tibia bia wo mu a ompe enso no se wo tie ne kwana e fa to free mu nso a on tie ase en na na e cause wo juve we ni. But the fact is that if you believe that Christ died on the cross to save you, if you believe, because people are saying, oh, we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe that he died to save us. If he saved you, then you were in the condition. Otherwise, there will be no need for salvation. So we see Yesu, who is on the way, on the way, and I just said, now what's the baby and then yet? And the man, be who we are, we free. You are in bondage. And this is the bondage people don't want to hear or want to accept. But if you don't see yourself like hopeless, hopelessness, that you are hopeless, that you can't do anything with the power of evil, then nothing can save you. Christ's death on the cross can never save you. Until you see yourself that you are in bondage, you are hopeless, you are helpless, you can't do anything about it, that is when salvation will come. Otherwise, like the Jews, they believe in him. You see, they believe him, but not in him. And that's what we are seeing all over. They believe him, that he is the Messiah, but not in him, that in me you will be liberated. So you see that these days, that is the reason why there are so many churches, so many people going to church, and still they are not converted. People are not converted because they are not getting the true gospel. They are not getting the antidote to their situation. People are flattering them with nice words, nice things about Christ. And that's what everybody wants to hear. And that is where when you hear people preaching, they'll be talking about all what Christ has done. By his stripes, we are healed. He became poor so that we can become rich. And people like those things. But when he said, believe in me for me to set you free, I let my word abide in you, then there's trouble. So we have to be very, very careful. Otherwise, if you believe just him and not in him, that belief is useless. It can't take you anywhere. And that has become a stumbling block in our day. People believe him. People want the nice things about him. And they don't want him, they don't want to commit unto him as their Lord. And that is something we have to be very, very careful. Why was he talking like that and they didn't want to accept? Because he said that we need conversion. We need to be moved from our former condition to a new condition before we can have access to God. Because God is holy, 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 holy. You can never get there because I go to church every Sunday, because I don't really commit adultery, I don't do all these things, so I must go to heaven. No. You must be changed. You must be converted. You must be born again. That's the message that Christ was talking to them. And the first thing we observe here is that because of the false conception of what freedom is, they were blind to their bondage. Esan say na omo no famudie na omo e kanu enye enukre nti no e ma omo hunu ti bia omo wo mu say omo wo enkwasu mu na e ma omo hunu da and asale bia say here say bia we are trying to be free from so many things, freedom from so many things, but not freedom from the bondage of sin, which is the most serious thing. Because it's sin that has brought every evil thing we are seeing in this world. It is sin that brought death, it is sin that brought darkness, sicknesses, because according to the Bible, when God created heaven and earth and human beings, everything was good according to God. God saw that everything was good. And it was good until Adam sinned. So you see, sin has brought all this that we are seeing in this world. So not until you are liberated from sin, you are really, really, really not free. So this morning, what I want us to do is to show what Christ means by true freedom, to be free, and then to show what things Christ has set us free from. And what things to? What condition has he set us free from? And what condition has he set us to? The person may share an opinion, say, the person may share the Jesus Christ, Fahudia, I am the cry, and no, any day. na me nsa me kire se e de na yesu ayiye afri mu so so ayiye afri pa ho die mu a e de pa ho die sa no e de e nkwasom sa e na wayiye afri mu na wayiye afri mu so no ehe pa na odi akọ because remember we are saying that we have been saved from darkness to light. So what are all those darkness and what are the light? Now he has saved us because we were slaves to our tempers, to our lust, to our ambition. He has saved us from all those things because it is sin. Everything that not until you are born again, your lust is evil, your tempers, everything, you put your ambition first before God naturally. And those are some of the things that Christ has saved us from. And in this world, friends, let's look at people who oppress others. As I was talking about nations rising against nations and people, the rich and the powerful oppressing people. Those who are oppressing them, they don't know that they themselves are under oppression. They think they are free, but they are also under bondage in the same way as those that they are oppressing. John Bunyan, when he was in prison at Bedford, even when he was in prison, he said he has liberty, he has freedom that those who put him in had never experienced. Those who have put them in there, he was saying that even though he's in prison, he has freedom more than what those who put them in have ever experienced. And like I already said, it is a wonderful thing to be free. You can imagine you have been a slave to someone for years, and then the person dies, and then his son who takes over comes and says, "Oh, I've released you. Go your way. Have your freedom." I hope you'll be very, very happy. And that is what Christ has done for him, for us, and which we have to rejoice and be glad in him. So, as I've said, my objective today is to show you or remind you what we have been freed from in Christ and also what we have been free to in Christ. First, we have been free from the guilt of sin. The guilt of sin. Also, the wrath of God. And the curse of the law. Remember, the Bible says, curse unto anyone who attempts to observe the law, because no one can follow and observe the law. So if you attempt to follow the law, curse be unto you, because you can never. Otherwise, there will be no need for Christ to come. So these are the things that Christ has delivered us from guilt of sin, the wrath of God, and the curse of the law. Friend, it is very, very terrible to live under a state of guilt before God. When you know you have sinned against God and you know God is always against you, it is a very, very, very terrible thing. Like I said, we were born in sin. And not just that, we have also committed sin. Very, very sin indeed. There's no one here who can tell me that he has never committed sin. And like the Bible teaches, even one sin, if you break one of the laws, you have broken all. So you see, In our state before conversion, we are in a very, very terrible condition. So Christ has saved us from the guilt of sin. And the rigor and the curse of the law and the wrath of God. We know that one day we will stand against God for judgment. Everybody knows that. If we die in our sins, then we will be judged according to our sins. But if we really die in Christ, God is said under Christ, we are no more under condemnation. Anybody who has given their life to Christ is no more under condemnation. If we have not done that, we are living as children of wrath. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and see what Apostle Paul says about that. Ephesians chapter 2. And he said, and you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the of air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of obedience, among whom also ye all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So you see, we were the children by nature, the children of wrath, the wrath of God. So Christ has come to save us from that situation. And then he has also saved us from the condemnation of the law. The law is good. We are not saying it is not good. That is, but because we can never follow it, God gave it to us for us to know our sinful nature. This is how I want you to live, this commandment. And when you see the commandments, it's not just the 10. If you really have to expand it, there are so many of them. So Christ has come to save us from the curse of that law, from the guilt of sin, and then the wrath of God. We were under the wrath of God because we were living in sin. We have also been delivered from the flesh, from the world, the flesh, and the devil. We have been delivered from the world, the flesh, and the devil. As I've said, we come in this world in bondage. And therefore, we are doomed to think and behave like what you see, the traditions of this world. We come to follow it. We are born into it, and we come to live by it. So we are doomed. We can never come out of that situation. So we are in bondage to the flesh. We are in bondage to the world. To the world and its appetites that we are to fulfill. You see, you believe in, you think you are free, but you are doing the will of Satan. You are doing the will of this world, this cursed world. The lust of it, that is what you are living for. That is what you can always do, because that has been your nature. So Christ has come to save us so that we can be free from this world. When you say the world, we're not talking about the geographical aspect of the world. It is our traditions, the culture that we come to inherit, that we follow. And also the devil. And people don't want to believe that they are under the devil. Nobody wants to believe that. But that's exactly what Christ was saying. Let's turn to John 8. The same John 8. Let's go down to verse 44. You see what Christ said about that. John chapter 8, verse 44. Say, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. You see, anybody who has not come to be born again, the devil is your father, and you walk in this world. You obey him. You live your life as he wants you to live. You are under his control. Not until you come out of that, you are under his control. And that's what Christ is saying, that the world, the flesh, and the devil, they are like we call it like a false kind of trinity. Because a natural man, any natural man means a man who is not born again, you worship these things. You worship the world, the flesh, and the devil. Secondly, you serve these things. Apart from Christ, you are serving the world, the devil, and the flesh if you are not born again. Thirdly, as I've already said, you are in bondage to all these things apart from Christ. You can never live for any other thing apart from these things, because you are in bondage to it. Friends, our state is very, very sad. We are in a very sad state. Let's not just take it as simple. Sin is a very serious thing. What sin has brought into this world, if people really, really know of this and think about them, we should always make sure we preach the true gospel for people to be liberated from this state of life. It is a very sad thing. We are serving Satan. We are serving this world, this doomed world, this cursed world, and we are serving our flesh, our depraved flesh. And it's a very dangerous thing. It always works against God. It works against what God wants us to do. But Christ has redeemed us. He has taken us out of this situation. He has taken us from the appetites and the desires of the flesh. The appetites of the flesh and the desires are very dangerous. It always leads us to destruction. But Christ has come to liberate us from that. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Romans 6, verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Talking about those who have been delivered from the curse of the law, who have come under the grace of God. Sin has no dominion over them now. Not until you come under grace, not until you are born again, it has dominion over you and controls you, and you serve it more than serving God. So Christ, by freeing us from the curse of the law and bringing us into the grace through his finished work, and then the power of the Holy Spirit. And then Christ has also delivered from the power of the devil himself, because we were in the domain of darkness, and then he has transferred us into the kingdom of his son. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. We are not standing there, but later on you can stay there. So we see we have been delivered from the world, the flesh, and the devil, and we should praise God for that. Now we have also been delivered from the evil of afflictions. When you say afflictions, we are talking about pressure, persecution, tribulation. And I call it evil because there are two kinds of afflictions. The evil afflictions are afflictions that have no purpose, just suffering because of our sins. And we have an affliction that is a trial from God, and it's to build you up, it's to make you perfect. If you are not under Christ, you are under the power of this evil affliction. And you go through all these afflictions throughout your life. But under Christ, all your afflictions are for a purpose. James chapter 1 verse 2 talk about that. Romans chapter 8 verse 28. All things happen for good for those who love God. For those who have been born again. If you are going through afflictions, it is to train you. It is to strengthen you. It is to get you closer to God. But if you are not under Christ, the affliction is to destroy you. Remember, we are not saying that a Christian will not go through affliction. We all go through, both the Christian and the unbeliever. But the unbeliever is to destroy you. To the believer is a trial to test you, to strengthen you. Just like how we test gold in fire. If you don't pass, go through fire, you will never know the value of it. So the same way, we are also tested through affliction. But in our case, the Lord uses that to strengthen us. So when you are going through an affliction, yeah, there are some of our charismatic friends do. I refuse. When you are suffering, you are suffering. Don't say I'm not suffering. When you know you are, accept it and come to God in prayer. He is the one who will deliver you from the suffering, because we are all living in an evil world. All these things are there for all of us. If you say I refuse, it will take the affliction away. The affliction will still be there. You are just fooling your mind. Accept it that you are going through an affliction and come to the Lord and pray. God sometimes let us go through affliction so that to draw us closer to Him. We come to Him in prayer. If you have no need, you will never, never, never go near God. So God sometimes allows us to go through all these things. But if you are not under Christ, if you are not born again, the affliction is not, it's called evil affliction. But the ones that come from God, we cannot call it evil, because it is the will of God that we go through all those, and we must rejoice. He said, rejoice when you are going through affliction, if you are truly born again. If you are not, then it is, you can't rejoice in it. That's what I'm saying, that there should not be a fake rejoicing, like you are ignoring the difficulty of the affliction. No. If you are going through affliction, you are going through affliction. If you are suffering, you are suffering. And come to your Creator, and He will set you free. And like I said, we are not to rejoice like in what they are doing is like a delusion. They are deceiving themselves. You are going through affliction and you say, no, I refuse it. It is not true. You are really going through, but the one who is under Christ has a purpose for that affliction, and it is for our good, as Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says. Now we are also free from the fear and sting of death. From the fear and sting of death. A child of God must never, never live in fear. They are, because God has so many promises for us, for those who come to serve Him, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. I'll just give you a few verses to, you know, read later on what God has said to His people in every generation. To Abraham, when he was Abraham, you remember in Genesis chapter 15 verse 1, you can read it, what God told him, that God will be with him through all his afflictions. Anything that he goes through, he will be with him. In Exodus, through Moses, God spoke a similar thing to the people of Israel. And you can also read it. In the same way, through Isaiah, as Isaiah from verse 41, verse 10, 13, and 14, you can read all those areas. You see that the child of God must not fear death. Death has become a passage to heaven. That is how, the only way we can go to God. Those who will be alive until Christ comes will be changed within the twinkle of an eye, and then we go to be with Him. So that will be our death. Those who will die before that day, we die to go to Him. So you don't fear the fear, you don't fear the thing of death. And the psalm that we just sang in our second hymn, Psalm 27, that you can also read what Christ also said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. So those who are in Christ should never, never fear. We should not fear anything, because our Heavenly Father is with us in all our life, in all our work, in all that we do. 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, then he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So you see that as a child of God, death is the one that everybody fears in this world. But so we will be a war yes to more. A war any idea to say with you. He said, a war no moon now, no more at the corner. So when we are wanting me and corner. So what you have to not say yes to bar or better sound or body no, now all the work. But a war bans and son of yes to bar. You are just living this wicked and sinful world, this evil world. You are living this world to go into a better place. And that is true. That is what it is. We are also being free from the victory of the grave and everlasting damnation. That is what I've all said. We all die. death is the most formidable thing. Everybody will die, whether you are a believer or not. But Christ has freed us from the victory of death. Not the death itself, but from the victory of the death. So the Christian, you are not freedom, you don't have freedom from death, but freedom from the victory of the death. That when you die, as I said, you are just passing through to go to where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, just our last reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Then from verse 54, you see, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So you see, he has given us victory over death. Death has no more sting over us. We die, but then we die and then go to him straight. So we are not to fear death as believers, because Christ has delivered us from. Now, where has he delivered us to? We have known where he has delivered us from. Our state of guilt, the rigors of the law, and our captivity to Satan. Now, where has he taken us to? He has freed us so that we can have access to God the Father. Now we have access to God the Father. We have been moved from bondage, and then we have access to God, to the Father. We have now become children of God. We have become adopted into the family of God. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. We have been adopted. We have become children. Not until that, we are just creatures of God. Not until you are born again, you are not a child of God. You are a creature of God. But now, because of Christ, we have access to God. That's why when Christ died, the curtain was torn into two. We have access to God. Unlike before, when only the chief priest could enter there. That shows is a picture of our access to God himself through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And not only that, we have been free to obey God as a child. And you know, that's how Christ said, not until we believe as a child, we can never enter into the kingdom of God. And you can't do that when you are not born again. So we have been freed from that, so that we can also obey God as a child of God. You know how children live in obedience to their parents. In the same way, we will be able to live according to we can live by the commandments of God without a burden. God, Christ has made that free from us. So now we have access to God. We have the ability or the willingness to obey God as a child. We have been transformed by Christ into his grace. So now this is our point this morning. Christ offers a new and a very superior freedom from the freedom that we know. We are not free because of our lust, because of our ambition, because of how we see this world, how we follow the traditions and the culture of this world. If you look at our culture, our tradition, it all leads to idolatry. And we are free from that. We are free from the life of putting God second and your ambition first. All those things we have been free from. So, we have been free from all these things and we have access to God, we can now obey God as a child, how children obey their parents. Now, how can we get this freedom? What is Christ saying that we should do to get this freedom? First, you must recognize your slavery. The people, the Jews did not accept that they were in bondage. You must accept that you are in bondage. Second, to know the truth of Christ. To know the truth of Christ, what Christ came to say. Christ said, if you believe in me and abide in me, then you are freed in it. You must believe in that and also abide in him. So you have to recognize your slavery. You have to know that you are a slave. As I said, Didi, so the people that Christ was talking to, they never accepted. They thought because they were from Abraham. You know, they were thinking about when they were released from captivity from the Egyptians and the Babylonians. They thought that was their freedom. Christ was not talking about that political freedom. He was talking about freedom from the power of Satan and this world. And that is what we have been free from. So the people thought they were, because they were from Abraham, they were not in bondage. And then in verse 34, Christ told them that everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Everybody who practices sin is a slave to sin. In other words, even if you think you are free, everyone who lives a lifestyle that is like characterized by sin is actually enslaved. You are slave to sin. And that's what Christ was telling them in verse 34. Because you are living in sin. So, Christ told them that their false view of freedom is not a true freedom. The fact that they are released from the Egyptian and the Babylonian captivity doesn't give them true freedom. True freedom is when he is the only one that can give you. So, first, accept that you are in slavery. Second, you should know the truth of Christ. You see, after you have recognized that you are in slavery, the second thing is that you must know the truth of Christ. And that comes straight from verse 32. He said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We have a small booklet here talking about the truth. What is the truth? The truth is that you were born in sin. You are under Satan. You have to be delivered from that state. Christ is the only one who can take you from that state. Yesterday, I was talking to a Muslim friend in front here. We all agree, we all accepted that we are all sinners. And we must be forgiven of our sins. That's the only way we can get closer to God. But when it comes to how to have your sins forgiven you, they believe in slaughtering animals at Mecca. But we believe that animals' blood can never cleanse you from your sins. Your sins must, according to Hebrews 9, not until blood is shed, there's no remission of sin. And what kind of blood are you talking about? Is it animal blood? Otherwise, those sins that they were committing in the olden days, they won't do it year by year. They were just pictures of Christ. So that is the truth. It is only Christ who can have your sins forgiven you by you believing in him. And then his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary sets you free. And that is the truth that we must know. And he said that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It is that truth that will set you free. No other thing. And the truth of the gospel, as I've already said. And that means you realize that you are not only enslaved to sin, but there's also nothing you can do to rescue yourself. You must know your helplessness and your hopelessness. You must accept these things before you can come and be set free. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says that, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So you see, you have been changed from your old sin to a new sin as a true believer in Christ. And then, the third thing, you must abide in the word of Christ. To experience this freedom that we are talking about, not only do you have to recognize your slavery, to sin and also to know the truth, but also to remember you have to abide in my word. He said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple. So we just have to come and do more than just professing to Christ. We have to accept, we have to abide in his word. Remember, I said that the Jews that Christ was talking to, they believed him. So if you listen to that, when they say they believe him, it looks as if they have become believers, isn't it? They believe him. But when he touched on the most sensitive one, that you must abide in me before you are set free, that brought the whole problem. So if you read it like that, you may think that the people had become, because he said he was talking to many believe in him. And those many were the ones that he was addressing, and they were objecting to his kind of freedom. So it may sound that they were believers, they were true Christians, but they were not abiding. That's what I said. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple. So he's saying that you say you are my disciple because now you said you have believed. So you are my disciples. And then when I tell you that you must abide in me, then there's trouble. So you can't be a true disciple if you merely profess his name, just mention his name, as we see in our days now. You are never free. You are only free when you abide in his word, and then his word abides in you. That is the only way that you can experience true freedom, the freedom from the power of sin. Otherwise, you will still be under the power of sin. You will still be under the power of Satan. You will serve Satan without you knowing, and it will lead you to hell. The only way out is to come under Christ. Come and commit your life to him. Believe in him. John 3:16 says it. Those who believe in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Friends, have you done that? Have you sincerely from your heart come to Christ? Have you accepted your slavery? That you are a slave? You are hopeless? You are helpless? There's nothing you can do, and you are seeking the help of Christ, the only one who died on the cross of Calvary for your sins to be forgiven. Have you done that? If you have, praise to God. If you haven't, there is time. You are not dead yet. This is an opportunity. Christ is standing here today and is tenderly calling you. But come and give your life to him. Will you do that?